stupid we can do.
What's the worst that could happen?
Live from Sacramento. Overlooking the Cap City Freeway and the picturesque parking lot of the Doubletree. Perched atop the 93rd floor of the iHeartRadio Media Megaplex. It's the Dog and Show Show.
Ah, schlubba, mubba, dig dog on a Friday!
Good morning, Sacramento!
Dana, score it!
Dan!
Yes! Woo! Look at there. It is a Friday, bitches. Last day before we go on vacation. We will not be returning until Wednesday, August 12th on a Lickison Win Wednesday, that is. So, let's get behind the business into this and give them hell today, because after today, I will be vacationing off the coast of my couch. Yes, big time extravagant getaway coming for the dog family. Let's see here. I'm going to go through these Facebook comments. You cannot hear Joe or Dana, only me on Facebook, Joe and Dana over at Instagram. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Danielle. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Connie. Good morning, Shane. Good morning, Melody, Carly, Mary, Keith, Fred, Sean, Hollis, Tio Filo. Hopefully I got somewhat close. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He said, good morning, perro.
I got good morning to you. Too.
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, Dana. Good morning, Ramon. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mike. Jessica also watching. Melissa says, happy vacation eve. Oh, yes. 'Twas the night before vacation and all through the house. No underwear were found.
Ew.
Or even any blouse.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Yeah, cannot wait. It has been, so you know. And here's the thing. I don't care if you watch grass grow for a living. I don't care if your job is watching paint dry or picking fly poop out of pepper. Okay. I don't care what it is you do. Or let's just say your job, you work for a sleep study center. Okay. And you're the guy that sleeps. Okay.
I don't care what
you do. When you do it for 7 months without a break, you do get a little crusty and you do get a little packed in and you got to have time off. And we've been doing this show from home since the end of February. And I know a lot of people think that, oh, God, that's easy. You don't even have to get dressed. You don't have to shower. You smell like onions. Yeah, yeah. Those are all the benefits. But doing what we do here remotely with Dana at her house and Joe at his and me here, it's more difficult to do than most would think. And again, I'm not patting our backs. I'm just saying it's time. Rarely am I ready for a vacation. But I think I'm really excited about this vacation because I know I'm not going anywhere. And I'm really, really excited by the fact that I can just kind of take a break and know that we don't have to load up in the car and go to hotels and do all that. So I'm actually somewhat, even though I'm bummed, you know, that not everything's open and it's not a optimal vacation year, I'm kind of happy that it is this way. Not because of the pandemic, but it's nice to know I don't have to go anywhere or plan excursions. So that's the good thing.
I'm totally stoked about it.
Actually, it's hard being an extrovert, and I think people we always go, like vacations, and there's always, you know, all these get-togethers, and with COVID there's just no more hanging out. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I told you guys both of you, I'm telling you, no people, staying away. There's nothing wrong with this. It's all good. It's
really
all good.
You guys make fun of me and you did all the crap you have lobbed my way, and now look at you two hypocrites.
Joseph.
Drink all the hypocritical water over there.
No, Joe. We do not go to Walgreens for social interaction. We actually had social interaction with real people. And we also have spouses that we have sex with on a regular basis.
Oh, thank you, Dana. Yes, thank you, Dana.
I mean, let's just be real. We're not being hypocrites.
The spousal thing has nothing to do with what it was we were talking about. You threw that in there as a jab.
Good job, Dana.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, just so you know. I'm not an introvert by any means. I really do. I love to go. I mean, and just go and love to go see stuff. I love getting out. But here's the thing. This is what excites me about it. I don't like people. You see, and this is perfect.
Weirdest
for me.
Extrovert ever.
Yeah. I like going out and doing stuff with my family and me. I mean, I could go all over. You know, I miss the concerts. I miss just jumping in the car and going to San Francisco or going down to LA and going to the beach and doing all this stuff and going out to eat and just, you know, living a normal life. But I've never, ever shied away from this. I don't think there's a day in my life, Joe, that you could say you've ever heard me. I like doing all those things because I need to be around people. No, I don't need people in my equation at all.
Well, I like to have people in my equation. I'm still an introvert.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, honestly, I'm really, really bummed that we're not going anywhere. I love to go places. I really do. I just hate the hustle and bustle of the, hey, you got to be here. You got to have this, the scheduling of all that, because I schedule kind of my life throughout the days when I'm working, and it's nice when you're on vacation to just kind of let the wind take you where you need to be. And that's what I don't like is the hustle, the bustle, the checking into the hotel. Oh, let's go do this. Let's go do that. And then you get home and you're like, God, thank God. Thank God we're back home. I love to go and do. And right now it's just, it's too tough. I mean, we might go down to LA and, you know, we might go to San Francisco, a couple of day trips or, you know, but, I don't think we're going to be doing any hoteling or any of that. So I don't exactly know what we're going, and that right there, just not knowing what is coming up for 7 work days or weekdays, that right there is liberating. I like that. That's like walking outside, you know, when you live in the city without your clothes on. You just open the door and you walk out there at like 12 noon. You know, it's just exciting. It's a good breath of fresh air.
You're an idiot. I'm getting as far away from this house and Roseville and this area and people as I can. I am going so deep and far into the woods this time. I found this, I found these fire root trails, and I am going deep. I mean, there's not even an address. So I have to leave somebody like a longitude, latitude of where I'm going just in case the bears get me. I mean, we're going in this time. It should be fun, man. I can't wait.
I hope you take a very, very long extension cord and your nightlight, because I'm just here to tell you, when you get that deep, the boogeyman's there, okay?
No.
Careful what you wish for, because I know you get out there.
Bring a nightlight.
Yeah, you better be careful, because when the sun goes down, it gets kind of scary.
It's real dark.
I got one of them batteries. I got one of them solar battery things, Dana.
Oh, we have one too. Very cool.
Yeah. So I'll be, if I can watch TV and even have an air conditioner out there if I want.
Joseph, that's not camping. Yeah, okay, we digress. Hotel.
Here we go. This is what we got today. This is kind of a fun CD. A week ago, someone said, hey, let's hear some 80s pop. I think it was Fred that said, hey, dog, back there in that big rack of CDs behind you, do you have any 80s pop? And I've got tons of 80s pop. And here's another compilation CD, Best of the 80s. And I've got all these things. And these are, I don't know, they're fun CDs. And there's like, I don't know, 18, 20 volumes. I got them all. And I think I bought most of them. And here's what you got today. All right. You got Asia, Heat of the Moment. You've got Scandal, The Warrior. You've got The Motels, Suddenly Last Summer. You've got The Hooters, And We Danced. You've got Your Love from the Outfield, or even, and God forbid you pick this one, Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. Yeah,
that's a good song. That's These are all song. Great ones, man.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one. I mean, they just got overplayed. I never really liked it. It's just, it's a little too sugar-coated for me. So jump on Facebook. Tell us what you want to hear. Get on Instagram. Tell us what you want to hear. We'll play it for you. Again, Asia, Heat of the Moment, Scandal, The Warrior. You've got The Hooters, And We Danced. The Motels, Suddenly Last Summer, Your Love by the Outfield, and Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. So tell us what you want to hear. Chime in on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll get going. Plus, we'll get into what's your deal. I got a great deal today. Found something new. Got tipped off on a great Netflix series. We'll talk about coming up with what's your deal. We'll get into news, too. Still got happy news. Over no music. We got cash at 7:30, $1,000. And also another round of older school today, where we play old school clips from commercials, movies, songs, and TV shows. And you and Joe and Dana have to determine which ones are older. So we'll get to all that here coming up. Dana, what's going on? What are they saying on Facebook here? What do they want?
All right. So we got Suddenly Last Summer.
Oh, man. You know what? If that song won out, that is fantastic, because Martha Davis of the Motels, I've always loved her voice. She was a fantastic singer. Never really took off the way I thought she should have. But she sounded like and better than Gwen Stefani, well before Gwen Stefani, but a very similar tone and a very similar styling in the way that she sings. Martha Davis, one of the fantastic female voices of rock that no one ever talks about. The Motels were a cool little band, and that's a great song. Sorry.
That's okay. So we got those two. We got Heat of the Moment or Your Love. We got Suddenly Last Summer, Your Love, The Hooters, Asia, Suddenly Last Summer, Your Love. And Derek says walking on COVID. So.
Okay. Wow. Walking on COVID. Wow. A lot of them for the motels suddenly last summer. All right.
Yep.
Joe, what are you seeing on Instagram? Anything different?
I saw one for the Warrior, one for, they're not really voting over here.
What did I see? You jump on Instagram, make your votes on Instagram.
Yeah, they're not voting much today. I got one for Walking on Sunshine and one for the Warrior so far.
Wow. Yeah, no votes on Instagram.
No, they're just talking, saying hi. Talking
all right. So weekend. Dana, does it look like, motels?
Yes, it does.
All right. This is a fantastic little tune. Listen to Martha Davis's voice. And again, this band kind of, it went through some rough times, and it was comprised of other people. And Martha Davis had kind of a rough run at life, and, you know, spent a lot of time in the Bay Area, a lot of time in California. She had just a rough run at things, trouble with her daughter and drug addiction. She just had a rough go at it. She really fell into the bad part of rock and roll. And, but she had a great, great voice. Great voice. Listen to this. So we'll do the motels for you. Here's Suddenly Last Summer on a Friday here on 93.7 The Rip.
Call the Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
Time for another exciting edition of
What's Your Deal?
What's your deal?
All right, here we go. 766-9370 on a Friday. Anything at all you want to discuss, you want to share, you want to get off your chest, you got something cool going this weekend, advice, you want it, you need it, anything, please, 766-9370. Danny can pick up the phone, and we'll talk to you. Now to this, my deal. This is fantastic. I don't think anyone out there doesn't know that I just absolutely love mob movies and the mafia. I love it. And again, you know, I've long thought that if I didn't do radio, you know, what would I do? Would I be a lawyer, or would I have been some type of mob boss? And I'd like to think that I could have gone two ways. You know, I love the law, love the Constitution, love America, but there's something about the mob and the mafia that has really just always excited me. I just love it. I love to study it and learn it and watch it. And I love all the mob movies. And last night, our boss, heterosexual Anderson Cooper, he sent me a text. He knows I like the mafia stuff, and he's always peeping new stuff on Netflix. This came out, I believe, on July 22nd, so it's brand new, okay? If you're looking for something to watch, if you're out of content, run, do not walk, and watch Fear City, okay? New York versus the Mafia. And this is a 3 or 4 part series, okay? And I think they're going to make more of these, but they've only done 3-hour-long episodes, 3 or 4. I watched them all in their entirety last night, and oh, my God. It's a little slow and it's a little repetitious, but it is so good. And I watched them all last night. It's called Fear City, and it focuses on the organization. It focuses on the five families, you know, Bonanno, Colombo, Gambino, Genovese, and Lucchese. And it goes into all the bosses and all the people, and they've got real people there that were incarcerated that got out. And it also talks a lot about Giuliani when he was the prosecutor. And he's the guy, you know, Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, and you know who he is now. He became mayor. But back before, he was the lead prosecutor in America. And he's the one that came up with going after all the mob bosses and all the underbosses and all the soldiers. And that's where they used RICO. And that's how they got him on these RICO predicates, so they could go after the whole company and bring all the bosses to justice. And it goes through. They've got video. They've got all the cops, all the FBI. They go into the guy that had to bug the houses and the restaurants and the cars. It's got a lot of good different details that you may not have seen or known. And if you're into that kind of stuff or you just like documentaries, watch it. It's called Fear City. It's on Netflix, and it is amazing. It's really, really good, and it's the kind of thing that you could watch a couple of times to make sure you get your timelines and your names, and there's a lot of locations and a lot of restaurants and a lot of venues. There's a lot of great details, and when you watch this, as when you watch all these other documentaries, you will see all of your favorite mob movies and where they started. You'll hear the characters. You'll hear the original names. And this goes for Casino. This goes for Goodfellas. This goes for Sopranos. Anything that's come onto TV or into movie from the mob, you will see all these characters from which they were depicted. and all the storylines. And that's what I love about this. And there's a lot of wiretap audio that they play. And it's really, really cool to see everything the FBI had to do to go after the mob. And they had no idea. They had no idea who they were, how deep the mafia was dug into the city of New York, and how far the power extended, and the worth and the money and the income that the mob was generating. The mob owned, and I've always known this, but I had no idea to the degree, the mob owned New York City from the late, I'd say late 50s, mid 60s until the 90s. I mean, truly, or if you want to go mid 80s, but they really did run it for 30 years. They owned the city. I mean, there was crooked cops, crooked judges. I mean, they ran construction. They ran the cabs. They ran the garment district. They ran restaurants, every freaking union out there you could imagine. They owned and built New York for about 30 freaking years. And it's really wild to see how they did it and how they organized together. And it's watch it. Just watch it, because I can go on and on for this, and I don't want to bore you guys, but it's a good piece of content waiting for you on Netflix called Fear City. Watch it.
That's awesome, dude. Did Giuliani come up with Rico, or was that already in place before he got
there? No, Rico wasn't. Forgive me with the acronym, with the corruption organization. I forget what the acronym is. Yeah, I can't
remember either.
It existed about 10 years prior, okay, and no one knew how to use it or what it even was. And one thing, because they talk about, if you watch Sopranos and other mob movies, they talk about Rico a lot, and all these FBI agents, they had to go to upstate New York, and there was a professor at Cornell that said, hey, I'm going to hold a class and I'm going to teach you guys about Rico. If I show you about Rico, you can go after the bosses. You can't stop organized crime if you use the Rico predicates. So
they tried to use it on the big motorcycle clubs as well, and I think they did. I think they got, you know, a few dudes on that too. So that's that Rico, that's scary.
Oh yeah, it basically took down the mob. It really did. And one of the cool things too, one thing that I did not know was how they infiltrated Paul Castellano, Paulie, Big Paulie. He was like the mafia dude. You know, he was the boss of bosses, as they call him. And what's crazy, I'll just share this because Dana says we got to go. We'll come back and we'll do news. One of the cool things, though, is that he was a pretty hip guy. Paul Castellano was, Big Paulie. And he was like into like technology and new things. And he had cable television. He had CNN. Well, you got to think, when you go back to the late 70s, mid 70s, not a lot of people had cable. So they found out that he had cable, and the way that they infiltrated him was they found out they could jam the cable transmission and make it staticky. Well, he loved to watch CNN all day and the news, okay? He loved his cable. So they made it all staticky, so he called the cable company. Well, they called the cable company, and the FBI said, don't send a car out. We're going out. So the FBI knocked on the door, got into Castellano's house, puts a bug inside his cable box, and then they leave. And it's just crazy to think how all these people, how they infiltrated. And they did this numerous times with other calls, and they got into these mob bosses' houses with bugs. And they got tons and tons of audio. So, and he knew it. Paul Castellano, he knew when they picked him up and they took him to jail, he knew he was done. Ultimately, though, he was shot outside the steakhouse and murdered.
Yeah.
But it was really, really cool to see how the FBI got in there and did that, because the FBI never, ever thought that they would win. They knew they were going after all the low-level guys, and they could never put a dent in it, and there were cops on payroll, and then this big breakthrough with Rico, and then bugging, and yada, yada, and it all happened. And the cool thing is, a lot of people say this is a good Netflix special because it doesn't glamorize the mob and the mafia like so many, including myself, do. It's horse crap when you watch it, because all the cops that were after all these big mobsters, they had an affinity for him. They did like him. Even one guy said that he was sad when Castellano got shot. He said, I always wanted him to go to jail. But you could tell there was a kinship there, and even the cops looked up to these mob guys as something that they were unable to go after. They were bigger than life. So watch it, okay? It's really good. It's called Fear City. We got to stop. We'll come back. We'll give you news. News over no music. We got some bad celebrities. We'll get sporting coming up later on. Also, we've got your cash, blatant bribe. That's going to come up an hour from now. Our first opportunity is at 7:30, National Cash Contest. So we got another $1,000. We'll get to that. Also, another round of Older School, where we play old school clips from movies, TV commercials, TV shows, and songs. You and Joe and Dana have to decipher which are the older clips. So we'll get to that. First news, though, a lot of people worked into a frenzy yesterday because Trump got on Twitter, okay? And on Twitter yesterday, he wrote, with universal mail-in voting, okay, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. He says, then, delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote, with question marks. So lots of people, they start saying, oh, my God, well, what do you mean? You're going to push the election back? You can't do that. And lots of people, you know, I mean, I think one of the first to lead this charge was Bill Maher. Okay, Bill Maher and others and Republicans have even said that there will not be a peaceful transfer of power. Okay, if in fact he were to lose the election, and others said that he would not leave the White House, and others have said that he will find a way to push back the election. All this stuff starting to come to fruition, and it's not going to happen. Okay, just so you know, no matter what he says, he can't do that. Senate majority Republican, House majority Democrat, Congress will not allow this to happen, and either will other Republicans. Okay, as soon as the Republicans found out about this, it said near universal opposition from Republicans to the mere suggestion that the November election should be delayed was immediately shut down. They jumped on and they said, dude, no, these are the Republicans. Just so you know, for those out there that don't really know which team's which, Donald Trump, a Republican, okay, running for Republican presidential office, second term. But even all the Republicans are like, no, you're not going to do this. Stop talking that way. It's not going to happen. And lots of people have been shouting this for a long time, saying we don't think Trump's going to, he's not going to just walk out of there if in fact he were to lose. Others say that the reason that the COVID-19 and pandemic was such a blunder, you know, the conspiracy theories out there, the reason that it's gotten so out of hand is because someone wants to let it get out of hand so they can guarantee another election by forcing themselves to stay in office during a wartime situation, which technically that could happen, okay? But he needs Congress to approve. So they're saying, no, you need to stay off of the Twitter, and you could suggest anything that you want to suggest, but we're here to tell you it's not going to happen. So that happened yesterday, and a lot of people were like, oh, my God, are we not going to vote in November? What's going to happen? So rest assured at this point that will not happen. And lots of other people, too, have said, many Republicans have said that voter fraud, not an issue with absentee or mail-in either. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Someone's got to take away the Twitter. What's that?
Didn't FDR, they wanted him in, the population wanted him to stay in, right? I mean, it wasn't. Well, yeah. Congress had to approve it, I'm sure, but it was like the American people said, hey, we would rather not have an election. You're doing a great job. Just continue doing what you're doing. Get us through this. I think is how that went.
Again, wartime, you know, and there are stipulations, and Congress can't approve, and there are things where you can impose martial law or stay in power when something like that's going on. Again, you know, there's lots of truth out there. There's lots of conspiracy. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is what I do believe now. Lots of people and lots of Republican pundits and lots of people have talked about it. The peaceful transfer of power, if Biden were to win, I think most are in agreement that he's not going to leave. Even his niece with that book, whether you believe her or not, she said that he will not leave. You will not just see him load up his stuff and have the moving truck come and drive away peacefully if he were to lose the election. She said that he won't leave. You're going to have to extract him from the White House and force him to relinquish his presidential power, because she said he will not just waltz out of there. No way in hell, according to her.
Little dog. I almost feel like if there is, you know how like there's normally like the presidential handshake when there's the transfer of power,
sure,
and you know, there's the whole press and everything. I feel like instead of like a nice, peaceful handshake, it'll just be like Trump going like, suck it, and then walking away, you know, because just the way he'll get up
on the roof. He'll be on the roof, Dana, just shouting fake news, fake election. I mean, he'll shout and do everything he can. Is what
I mean, I
kind of
look forward to it if that happens.
I mean, let's add more S to the show. You know, I mean, let's not just poop the bed. I mean, let's do it all over the bedroom in the house. I mean, let's just level the whole damn thing. This is kind of a big piece of news. A Georgia news anchor made history this week as the first volunteer to receive an injection in phase three of the COVID-19 vaccine trials. Dawn Baker, she's a news anchor for CNN and affiliate out of Savannah, said that she was a little bit nervous, but really excited to have the injection on Monday, as she hopes it will yield really, really good results. And she did not know if they inoculated her with a placebo or the actual vaccine. They don't tell you. That's all part of the trial. They want to see how your body reacts. They want to make sure the mental isn't playing a part in anything. But she did become the first Black woman volunteer to participate in the coronavirus vaccine trial. And they also said yesterday, too, that they might fast track and get federal approval to start in 4 to 6 weeks vaccines moly. And vaccinating people. If in fact they can learn a little more, they want to jump on this. And I don't know what's going to happen, but there's some talk of early vaccination for certain people. And here's the thing with this. I know people are scared to death of this vaccine. It's come together too quickly. But I don't understand why they wouldn't vaccinate frontline workers first, medical and health officials first, and then work down the lines so they can one, protect those that are working with those who are sick first and foremost, and then two, do clinical trials on doctors from doctors. Because the only way you can get herd vaccination or immunity is by a lot of people doing this. And as it stands right now, you saw what happened with the mask drama. You know, the anti-maskers and the maskers, people aren't going to want to rush out and get this vaccine. And if they don't, you're never going to get herd immunity. So there's a lot of people that are saying it's too early. And then there's quite a few others that say, hey, let's try it. And I'm willing to, one, protect myself, or two, help out fellow Americans and humanity. So we'll wait and see. But they said in 4 to 6 weeks, they could fast track a vaccine to start giving it to those who may want it, or those on the front line. So we'll see what happens. It's crazy. Would you get it?
No way. Not this early. I mean, eventually I will. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with vaccines. I'm not like a non-vaxxer or anything like that, but way too quick for me. I mean, way, way too quick. I really appreciate the folks that are getting poked and, you know, going in and, you know, doing the trials with them. I think that's extremely heroic. I mean, I really, honestly, I do. I don't think it's stupid in any way, shape, or form. I think it's very heroic, and I appreciate them doing that. But I do not think I'm going to do that. Not this early.
I'm starting to kind of, I'm having different thoughts about it. My son and I had a pretty good conversation last night. And I mean, I think what it all comes down to, and you may have seen medical professionals, you know, you have to flip-flop it, is getting the virus worse than being inoculated and getting the vaccine with side effects.
Oof, well, that's a good call.
Here's the thing, though. You know, you're never going to know the true impact of this vaccine. I mean, it's going to take 10 years or more. So if everyone keeps waiting until the vaccine is safe, you know, flu shots have been around since the 40s. We've been doing that a long time, and a lot of other vaccines. Mm-hmm. If you wait until you have concrete proof it's safe, you're never going to have herd immunity, and you're never going to get your arms around this. So I'm starting to, as you know, I've been cautious, and we've been doing the stay at home thing, and we've been doing all the stuff you're supposed to do. As time goes on and the world goes this way, it's like, I'm kind of leaning toward the vaccine to get that vaccine and to have mild or even somewhat severe symptoms as you're being monitored. When you look at these people that still have no rhyme or reason, healthy people, you know, they always say you're at the most at-risk category. That's horse crap. This virus grabs and kills and does what it does without any reason. You know,
right.
Some people are 102. They have half a heart, no lungs, and part of a liver. They've been through 3 chemo treatments, and they're in a horrible mess health-wise. They walk out of the hospital. Then you get a bodybuilder that's 27. You know, that has no underlying conditions, dead in 3 days.
It's so, that's the crazy, that's the scary part of it right there. I've never seen anything like that. I've never in my life seen any disease we've ever had that does that. That's so scary.
So I don't know, man, as they go through this, I'm not going to say I'm going to be first in line, but I'm surely, if I'm going to do it, because I believe in vaccinations and I get my flu shots, I don't think waiting around 1 to 2 to 5 years is going to do anyone any good. I say if I'm going to do it, I'm going to wait for a safe one. I don't know. I've been poked. I've had stuff in me. And again, I don't like medicine. I don't believe in going to the doctor. There's a lot I don't believe in, but there's a lot I do. I'm starting to kind of go to the other side now with, you know what? Jab me with it. Let's see what happens.
Dog, you know what I'm wondering is, as long as this has gone and as much as we've tried to stay in and shelter in place, and you've done a great job of it, I still have to go out and pick my son up and, you know, do little things.
I do go out quite a bit now, but I do it with my mask, and I do it, you know, as we've talked about doing it since this started.
Very, very safely. And so does, you know, so do myself, my family, and Dana and her family and everything. But don't you guys think we've probably, I mean, it's all around us. We've had to have at least come into contact with it somewhere. I mean, I don't understand how we couldn't have.
I used to think that, but I really don't. When I see and I read more about the symptoms and, you know, what people go through, it's like, yeah, I used to think that, you know, because we had three cases at our building, not in our office, but at our complex. Mm-hmm. We had three cases, and one was early on, you know, and that's, I guess I had flu. I guess I had stomach aches. I guess I had high fever. You all saw my horrible cough.
Sure.
You know, there was a time when I thought, well, maybe I picked it up and I was one of the lucky ones. Now, as time goes on, I don't think we have, even though more people say that there could be some immunity at a light level, that there's so much of it out there that there could have been more light exposure. You know, they talk about T cells now and they talk about all this stuff. I really don't think that we have. I just don't, as time goes on, when you see the people and the horror and what they have to go through with symptoms in the bad cases. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't think we have.
It's just all around us, though, bro. I mean, I got a neighbor with it. I mean, the stores I shop in, people are getting sick.
You have a neighbor that has it?
Remember that little boy?
Oh, I thought you said he didn't have it.
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
Well, he got the COVID sickness that the little kids get. So he didn't test positive for that disease, but he got that little Kawasaki syndrome type disease that comes after it.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
as usual, Joe terribly relayed information.
No, I told you guys that.
You said it completely differently.
No, I did not. I said that little kid had a little tick on the right side of his body and he got, you know, his fever spiked. I told you guys all that.
You said he didn't have corona.
I said he did test negative for the COVID. Yes, he did. But he got that disease that you get after you have it. So, and it's like I was telling you before, unless you test right in line with the sickness, you don't test positive. And yeah, doctors will tell you that. I mean, unless you're going through it, or I don't know why it is, but not everyone who has it tests positive for it. And that's bizarre.
There is problems with testing, you know. Tuesday, I told you guys, I went to my grandmother-in-law's funeral. She died from COVID. She was in convalescent care. And, you know, I've known three people now to perish from it. Two others I did know. And it's real. And you're starting to see the people out there. They're starting to believe it. You're starting to see the masks and people now finally getting the hint that this is not a conspiracy. It's not a normal flu. And they're starting to finally get in line and to learn. And hopefully that'll bring numbers down. But yeah, with the vaccination, man, I don't know. I don't know what you do, but I'm starting to lean down that other side of I think I might do it. Herman Cain. You remember Herman Cain?
Yeah.
We used to joke about rock you like a Herman Cain.
Yeah.
He was a presidential candidate. And so, you know, he did go to the Tulsa, Oklahoma rally back on June 20th, the one that Trump hosted, and lots of people didn't wear masks. It is believed that he contracted the coronavirus there at that Tulsa, Oklahoma rally, or any other of a number of places that he traveled, because he went everywhere. So it's hard to say where he contracted it, but he did die. And Herman Cain, no longer with us. He was hospitalized for about a month and a half. Gosh. He is now dead at age 74. He had had other cancer treatments prior and was said to be in good health, but had some underlying things going on. He did contract the coronavirus, and he was rushed to the hospital. He got a pretty severe case, and no one thought that he would walk out of the hospital, but did die. He was 74 years of age. So, it's real. That's what's going on with it. We got to stop. We got other news to do. Plus, we'll come back and we'll do another exciting edition of Older School.
Yay!
Where we play old school clips. But hang on. We'll do part two of news next and give you cash. All right, Dog and Joe Show on a Friday. We got cash coming up here in 40 minutes. We'll blatantly bribe you with another $1,000. Also, we're going to do another round of Older School. Part two of news, though. I don't know how many people saw this. I hadn't heard about it until a couple of days ago, but they call him Umbrella Man. Okay. And he's this ominous guy out of Minneapolis. and he walks around in all black clothing and a mask, carrying a black umbrella. And he was seen weeks ago during the George Floyd death and the riots. He was seen walking by an AutoZone in Minneapolis with like a small hammer or a brick. And he just walks down the sidewalk and he was just smashing windows out. And they think that he's been linked to other fires and other vandalized properties. And they called him Umbrella Man. And now Minneapolis police think that they know who Umbrella Man is. And they now have him in custody. They identified him. Sorry, I shouldn't say in custody. They've identified him as a 32-year-old suspect from the Hell's Angels. And whoa, what this guy is, I guess, is just an opportunist and anarchist. And he likes to go out when stuff is bad and really throw gas on the fire. And they said Tuesday they could not confirm the name of the person involved, but said the investigation remains open and active. And they are getting closer, they think, to finding out who he is because of a email tip that had come in. And he's creepy. You see this guy. He's just walking around in all black clothes with a black umbrella, breaking out the windows. And they think he started fires. And they think he's really instigated and made problems worse in Minneapolis and probably other hot spots. He's known as Umbrella Man.
Wow, creepy.
And that is scary.
So creepy.
Yeah. He'll disappear now, though. Now that
they're onto him.
Yeah, if he's with that club, they've got, you know, they've got intel wherever they need it. So he's probably been disappeared for a minute. If they find him, that would be very amazing.
What do you do when you're Umbrella Man? You wear black and a mask and walk around with a black umbrella. Well, it's easy. You put a red costume on and you get a red umbrella.
Yeah.
And now you're Red Umbrella Man. Or I got a better idea. Oh my goodness. No umbrella, no costume. You walk around plain clothes with your real face exposed. Who are you? You don't know. So,
yeah.
I mean, watching it though, man, it's got a weird, ominous video, and I don't know what the umbrella signifies or what it does to protect him. It's weird. And the way he walks around, it's like a Sunday afternoon in the park type of thing. It's very Mary Poppins esque, and he kind of strolls very casually with the umbrella in one hand, breaking out the windows. It's odd. You know, he's not running in a panic. He's just leisurely strolling as he causes all this havoc, and it's kind of creepy to see.
Does he have the umbrella on his shoulder aiming towards the side of the street that would have cameras?
No. He holds the umbrella over his head.
Like to protect from rain or whatnot.
Yes. Yeah. It's like he's walking through the park holding an umbrella over his head. And it's just, it's weird. At least the video I saw. It's different.
That is creepy.
Well, we're going to be gone next week. We're on vacation. We're not going to be here for Tuesday. So let's get to this. This is what a pandemic world needs. With unemployment numbers skyrocketing, tons of jobless claims, a Chicago restaurant thinks it's the perfect time to offer the world's most expensive PB&J sandwich.
Oh, goodness.
You got to order this thing 24 hours in advance. And if you want it, you better get ready to plunk down $350.
Wow.
No.
What are they putting on that?
Well, I'll tell you. Okay. The restaurant's known as the Golden Goose. Okay. And what they do is, and so, you know, the PB&J, this stands for pizza, beer, and jukebox. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So, you know, the jam is made. Okay. The jam is made by Mason Dutries, and it contains currant seeded by hand using a goose feather quill. It costs $24 for a 100-gram jar. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
The sandwich is made with all natural Adams peanut butter, imported French jam, and bread baked with gold leaves inside of it. Assembled sandwich is then drizzled with a New Zealand Manuka honey, which retails for $371. And you got to make the order 24 hours in advance. And the good news is the sandwich costs $350, but the Golden Goose restaurant will pledge to donate $100 from each sandwich to Hopes for Kids. Okay, so there is a charity behind this. It is for educational and underprivileged children and homeless shelters. So there is a reason behind it, but still, take the $100 that goes to charity out of it. $250 for a PB&J ain't happening. There's nothing you could put in it or on it that would make me pay that kind of money for a PB&J. Joe?
Well, yeah, so obviously I would. I'd charge the hell out of that. I mean, I just to try it. see what that's all about. I mean, it's just, aren't folks weird? I mean, they really are. And you can't, there's no judgment here because, I mean, who could judge anyone in this day and age? But who,
I mean, the fact that jelly's
being stirred with a goose quill, I mean, that is stupid.
So ridiculous.
That is absolutely stupid. It really is.
And Joe, you say people are weird. I'll judge. I'll be the one to do the work of the Lord. People aren't weird, Joe. They're stupid. They lost their minds. They're completely without any mental capacity anymore. I mean, now, if times were thriving, you know, if we were roaring, the economy's great, you know, your bottles of Cristal and all your, you know, $1,000 beers and all your $10 million bottles of whiskey and everything's going crazy and everyone's happy and working. Okay. People have long done this, you know, mm-hmm. people have smuggled in cheese, illegal cheese, and they put it on sandwiches so they can build like a $25,000 hamburger mm-hmm. and the gold encrusted whatever buns. And people have been doing this kind of crazy stuff for a long time. And the restaurants that do this, they do this so idiots like us will talk about it and it drums up business.
Sure. You're
doing it during a pandemic and doing it during the economic downturn that we're in, damn near, you know, what do you call it?
Recession.
I'm looking. Depression.
Okay? Depression.
Depression, yeah. Damn near in a depression. This is not the time to do this, I don't think. But again, there's lots of people out there that want fun, stupid things yep. to do with their ridiculously.
They have credit cards that they apparently can still charge up.
Yeah.
At least $300 or so on there, you know.
Yeah. And again, Dana, help me with this. Isn't Adams? Adams is a fairly known grocery store peanut butter.
It sounds like it. I mean, I don't know. I'm so used to, you know, Justin's, but so we might be getting it confused. But I've never heard of Adam's peanut butter specifically.
All right. So maybe it's fancy. But, you know, I'm
thinking. Oh, yeah. They have it at Walmart for like $7.
I know that I've seen that brand of peanut butter. Here's my thing, though. I mean, really, here's the other thing, too. This is truth be told, Joe. You can agree or disagree. I'm not going to pay that kind of money for a PB&J if it ain't got Jif on it.
Yeah.
Jif Crunchy.
I was going to say, does Jif make Adam's? Because if not, it's useless.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's not made by Jif.
Jif is the best peanut butter.
No
doubt about it. Joe and I do agree on. But
wow, I don't agree with either of you.
Oh, you know nothing of peanut butter then.
Okay. Yeah,
you don't like peanut butter.
Yeah.
Says the one who eats more peanut butter than both of you put together. But yes, I know a lot of peanut butter. A ton of
peanut butter, Joe.
No argument there. I bet Joe has eaten more peanut butter this week than I've had in my lifetime. I can't argue that.
I go through one of the, I don't know, just the regular size jar. I don't know what the amount is in that, but I go through one of those, no joke, a month.
A month.
Yeah.
Well,
one full jar a month all by myself. And I mean, Digger's over here, but I eat it with spoons. I know that sounds gross, but I will walk through the kitchen and I'll have 5, 6, 8, 10 spoons of peanut butter probably a day.
You should be eating with a spoon, Joe, is your Lipitor. See, if you flip that habit around and you ate spoonfuls of Lipitor instead of peanut butter, you can get off the medication.
My cholesterol is fine, man. I don't know what it is. It must like peanut butter.
Yeah. Your cholesterol is fine because you take cholesterol medication.
See how that works?
Yeah.
I love that.
That's why your cholesterol's fine. Another restaurant piece that we need to get to, California Pizza Kitchen is the latest fast food casual chain to file for bankruptcy. They filed for Chapter 11 yesterday. They've been in business for 35 years, and it says that 200 global restaurants will be affected and probably say that they will shut down immediately because of profits going down the hill. And they say that these 200 will be gone immediately or very quickly, and they're going to have to restructure. In fact, they want to stay in business. And again, I got to tell you, a little salty, but when you want a good, quick kind of knockoff margarita pizza, that one that they do there at the California Pizza Kitchen, I do like. I like it a lot. It's not overly authentic, but it's a really good little pizza that's thin crust. And I didn't eat there a lot, but, you know, every now and again, my wife and I, we'd go to the one over there across the street on Arden, you know, get a couple belts. You know, she'd get like this thing she got, and I always get that pizza. I always liked it. And the thing that disgusts me is that if even one Sears is left to stay open, there should not be any closures of any California Pizza Kitchen or any business until every last Sears is mothballed and shuttered. No other business should go under or file for Chapter 11. It's lunacy.
That's awesome.
Well, you're in bad
Always
shape,
comes
bro.
Back to Sears.
Yeah, somebody keeps bailing them out. I don't know who and how and why,
it's the cockroach of retail. They always say that cockroaches, they can survive, you know, the atomic blast and Armageddon. Sears is the cockroach of retail. Die. Doesn't someone out there have a big enough boot to crack that exterior shell and smash that cockroach into oblivion? Get off the life support. Pull the plug. Let's have the funeral. Come on now. Jesus.
Well, when the cockroaches are as thick as that Sears and Roebuck catalog that came out in the 1800s, I mean, they're hard to squash.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, sad news for California Pizza Kitchen. Even sadder news that there's still a couple of Sears open. And I've told you, there's going to be a party. There's going to be a fiesta that's been in the making for a long time. And I cannot wait to celebrate in a burned out, blown out Sears abandoned parking lot. And hopefully we can get through the pandemic and all that. And how great would it be to have a beer truck, a Coors wagon show up, you know, and nobody wearing masks, and we're out there just, I don't know, what are we doing? We're doing the Watusi. We're doing, what are the country? We're line dancing. We're line dancing out in the parking lot there at Arden Fair Mall because Sears is gone, and just partying, and we'll set up the PA, and I don't know, maybe we can get like TV's John Stamos and donkey rides. I see something big. It's not all worked out, but I just see a big festival with the last closure of Sears, at least the last one here in our area. I just can't wait. Let's get to it.
That sounds big. It really does. Especially with the donkey rides and stuff, TV's John Stamos hosting. Yeah. I'd be a part of that, just even if they weren't shutting it down.
You know what we do? This is what we call it. It's called Sayonara Sears. Okay, that's the festival. Sayonara Sears. And we'll sell tickets. And hell, you know what we can do? We can, I don't know, maybe we can have some sort of craftsman tool swap meet out in the parking lot, too. You know, and people can bring in their what else did Sears sell? All their Kenmore garbage. And what else did they sell them at Sears?
Sell. They sold everything, dude. They had shoes and clothes and watches. Oh, towards the end, they sold everything.
Just get them out of there. Indoor flea market it's been for the last 10 years. So, all right, coming up, 7:30. We'll get you paid. Another blatant bribe. $1,000 is on the way. And let's see here. Okay, after Blur, we're going to come back and we're going to get into Older School, where we play all the old school clips. You and Joe and Dan have to decide which ones are older.
Yeah.
I think rumors came out, what was that, 77? So I would have been 5. So damn near my entire life, 48 years on the planet, I've heard something from Rumors or that song probably at least once a day, if you were to average it out. And my point with that is certain songs, honestly, no, I'm not going to say anything bad about it. Certain songs you just can't get tired of. And I don't know what it is. And I know everyone's got their songs they love and hate. But that one, I never have, after all these years, gotten tired of it. I've always liked that song. It's like, you know, More Than a Feeling, Boston. It's like Don't Stop Believin', Journey. It's like any song Van Halen's ever made. You've got those songs that you hear your entire life, and you don't change them, and you like them. And I don't know what it is about that. That's another one. But I know there's people out there that are hearing it probably thinking, oh, my God, I've heard that enough. You know, Bad to the Bone. After I heard Bad to the Bone one time, I heard that enough to last me a lifetime. Mm. I can't do it.
Oh, my gosh. It's a great song.
I just can't. Same debatable thing with Stairway. Stairway, that comes on. I hear those first two notes. I'm out. I can't do it ever again. And I love Zeppelin.
I could do Stairway. It does not bother me at all.
Yeah, I can't do Stairway. Bad to the Bone. I mean, I could go on and on with the songs that just irritate the hell out of me, but Fleetwood Mac.
Anything Iron Maiden.
Beatles.
Kiss.
Beatles, the opposite of Van Halen. Each and every song the Beatles has ever created, all those songs. I hear the first bar, the first note, I'm done. Never liked them. Can't do it. Coming up next Friday, this is really cool, and we ask that you get behind. Help us support this. It's a great, great cause. August 7th, okay, you can go out to Cal Expo, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can join us and buy talent for the community blood drive. As you can imagine, lots of people need your blood, and it's a great, quick, easy thing to do to help out tons and tons of people. So if you jump on 937theriver.com/blood drive, you can set your appointment. You can make your times and secure your spot to go out and help those out in need. And the other thing you can do, you can even check for antibodies. You want to see if you have antibodies for COVID, or if you want to find out your blood type. And again, just two things that are sidebars to you helping out tons and tons of people. So jump on, make your appointment. All you got to do is go to 937theriver.com/blood drive. Okay, we're going to come back right after these. We're going to get into older school. Yay! That's where we play old school clips. Okay, we've got movies, we've got music, we've got TV shows and commercials. We play the audio. You, Joe, and Dana have to decipher which ones are older. So we'll come back Friday. There goes Bon Jovi. We got cash for you. 8 minutes. We'll give you another blatant bribe. $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. But by the looks of it, you wouldn't know it's a National Cash Contest because we've had a bunch of local winners. And hopefully we can get you to become the next local winner. So 7:30, we'll give you our first chance at $1,000 for blatant bribe. Now, though, a little something we call older school. Okay?
Yeah, baby.
Older school, we take movie clips, we take song clips, we take commercial clips and TV show clips, and then we play them. You and Joe and Dana have to determine which one of the clips are older, okay? So first one, take a listen to this and tell us which one is older school. Let me make sure that's on. Okay, take a listen.
America, demand your MTV! I want my MTV.
I want my MTV.
Call your cable company and say, I want my MTV.
There you go. MTV. And in that promotional clip there for MTV, you had the Police. They were the ones singing and shouting. You had Pat Benatar. You also had Pete Townsend. Okay. And what that was a lot of people, you know, you didn't have MTV. So they would run that commercial and tell people, hey, call your cable company. Make sure you tell them that you want MTV in your area. And it worked because people would go over someone's house or they would travel or they'd go into a different county or they'd go somewhere where there was cable and they had MTV. And you're like, well, how come I've got HBO, but I don't have MTV? Well, you would call your cable provider and tell them, hey, I want MTV. And the cable company would say, okay, that's going to be like $3 more a month. And mm-hmm. And it's really funny when you think about cable and everything that goes on now. You know, everyone has said we should be able to pay or pick and choose just the channels we watch. In the early days of cable, when you had that faux wood, weird rectangular oval box that just had one push button, mm-hmm. you know, you could call your cable company. And, Danny, you keep saying, you weren't even an embryo yet.
We had that. This. Yes, we did.
Dana, you did not have that cable
we
box.
We did, too. Oh, my gosh. All right.
What year were you born?
I mean, maybe they could have hung on to one.
I was born in 89, but we had it. Absolutely.
You had the old single push button faux brown cable box?
We had. Yeah. All right.
No, you did. I'm asking you.
I'm not going to argue about what I actually had as a child in my house. I mean, well, hey, don't believe me. I don't care.
We had one of those wooden box console TVs until I was graduated college. I mean, my dad and mom kept that thing for
We didn't eons. Get a big screen for forever. I mean, like, we had all the old stuff.
Okay. Well, that's what I was getting at, Dana. If you still had the single push-button set-top box for HBO and MTV, then that's what you had. It would have been a little bit older, but I was going back to, like, 82, 83 when we had those, and then, like, as soon as, you know, I don't know, 87, 88 came around, the cable boxes started changing. They looked different. I remember we had to go down to the cable company and you would take your cable box in and give it to them and then they would give you the update. And if you got the update, well, one, you got the remote control with it. It started getting fancier and then you got an extended channel package, you know, but you had to get the good cable box and you had to get the better upgrade deal. And then that would give you the dirty movies like on Sunday night and when mom and dad were in bed.
Dirty
movies. Yeah, Skinamax. And you'd go in there and get some Showtime. You betcha.
Yeah. We didn't even care about TV when I was a kid, man. We didn't even watch it. I couldn't even tell you when cable like that stuff. Okay, I was outside all day long, always, you know. Oh. We didn't have any of that stuff, really.
Yeah, we were outside all the time, too, and there was nothing on TV until MTV came on. That's what changed television. I mean, honestly, and HBO, you know, you started to have these big box office movies in your house, and HBO would send out their little HBO guide, and that's when you knew, like, 10 with Bo Derek was going to come on and, you know, all these other movies. But, yeah, I mean, we never watched it. Television until MTV came out. And then once that came out, man, you had to be there with Kurt Loder. They were going to have breaking songs and they'd have, you know, breaking news and the world premiere. And then, oh my God, MTV was magical. And the reason that I play that is because tomorrow will be an MTV anniversary. Okay, oh. That's when it debuted, was on August 1st. So tomorrow's an anniversary for MTV. So,
won't tell us how many years, cool. though, will he?
Yeah. Actually, I can. I believe it's going to be 38 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that was going to cheat for give us a hint for what you're playing next.
No, that's okay. So you got that. I want my MTV. Which one of these is older school? That one or this one? Take a listen.
Welcome to Night Tracks, America's favorite music video show.
Tonight, we present the hottest videos from the biggest stars of pop, rock, and some new music surprises.
This hour, we'll have Duran Duran, Bette Midler, and Huey Lewis in the news.
And Lasseter presents Night Flicks.
Now, let's get the show jumping with Van Halen.
Yeah, see how they used to get the show jumping? Yeah, with Van Halen. Night Tracks, all right? So you heard the MTV, I Want My MTV, and then the promo for Night Tracks, Older School, Dana. Which one of those is older?
Oh, boy. I'm going Night Tracks is older.
Okay, you're saying Night Tracks is older. Joe, Older School, which one of those clips is older?
Well, I sure hope Night Tracks is, because if they were doing that kind of stuff after MTV came out, they were screwed, and I mean quick.
Yeah. Well, so you know, MTV debuted August 1st, 1981, okay? The clip you heard from MTV, though, came from 1984. The Night Tracks clip you heard came from 1983, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you both are correct. And that was an early, early version of Night Tracks. Night Tracks out on the Best Coast out here in California, it came on Turner on TBS. That's where we used to watch Night Tracks, and it come on Friday, Saturday nights real late. And it was cool because that's what you had to watch. It was kind of like knockoff generic MTV, but everyone could get it. You know, you could get TBS. You didn't have to have, because a lot of people didn't have cable and a lot of people didn't have MTV. So Night Tracks got you by until you could get over to your cool cousin's house or your, you know, drunk uncle, you know, that never paid his bills and always prioritized cable television beyond anything.
I love how they just used to do everything in monotone. Like, I know. They just wanted zero emotion. Tonight we're going to have Duran Duran on the show with Bette Midler and maybe some Poison. Possibly Rat will be joining us and kicking things off. Van Halen.
No.
You're just like, what?
He said, right now we're going to get things jumping. Here's Van Halen. Yeah. When you tell somebody you're going to get something jumping, you kind of say, yeah, let's get it jumping.
Yeah. How about a little charisma in there, my man?
Right now we're going to raise the roof. Okay.
Jimmy Fallon does.
Got a big guest on the show tonight. God. Yeah. Joining us.
He's been resurrected.
God,
it's good to interview you. I think I'm the only one who's ever been able to do it. I don't really know what to ask you or talk. Let's sing a song, God.
Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord.
You guys want to take a little break from your shenanigans and do code words?
Oh, yeah, I guess we should, shouldn't we?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, what the hell? $1,000, blatant bribe. It's our first opportunity. Bottom of them almost each and every hour. We give you $1,000. So here we go. Good luck. Okay, there we go. Good luck on the cash coming up at 8:30, 9:30, almost each and every hour at the bottom of the hour. We give you an opportunity to get those blatant bribes. All right, back to it. Older school. Okay, which one of these songs is older? Okay, take a listen to this one.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake and tend to tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Oh, oh.
They took the credit for your second symphony. We written by machine on new technology. And now I understand the problems you could see.
Radio star.
you go. The Buggles. Video killed the radio star. The very first music video and song MTV ever played when they debuted August 1st, back 38 years ago. Tomorrow's their anniversary. So you've got that one from The Buggles. Okay. Now you got this one. Older School. Which one of these songs is older? Take a listen to this one. Oh my God, I can't even, I can't watch another second of that. Going back to that, watching Debbie Harry blah, I mean, that right there, that is honestly some of the most awkward times when we had MTV. Mom and Dad would walk in. I mean, just one occasion. There were multiple, but they would catch you actually licking the television screen.
Oh, God. Goodness gracious. I mean,
just licking it. I mean, that is just, I mean, just you'd kiss it, you'd lick it. I mean, you just start, you know, licking the rotator knob. You're like, oh, my God, Blondie, how can you just come to life in my living room? Wow.
Ick, weird science. That's so all. Disgusting. Yeah, that's creepy.
Man, Debbie Harry back then, even Debbie Harry now, she's aged fairly gracefully, but wow, there goes Blondie, Heart of Glass, Older School, okay? The Buggles, Video Killed the Radio Star, or that one from Blondie, which one is older, Dana?
Oh, man. I'm going to go the Buggles.
Okay, the Buggles, Joe, Older School, which one's older?
I will say Blondie is older.
Okay. Mm. The Buggles, the very first MTV video ever played, came out in 1979. Okay. Even though MTV debuted in 1981, they thought that that would be a fitting launch. Okay. Blondie came out, Heart of Glass, 1978.
Oh,
good job,
it.
Joe.
Woo! 1 year, yeah. Man. That's so close.
Yeah, 1 year. That was a tough one. So there you go. All right. Now to TV shows. Okay. And I love this TV show. Grew up watching this. We play this every time we talk about Sears. Absolutely love Benny Hill. Take a listen. Oh, yeah. You got the little old man running around and all the bikini-clad girls losing their tops. And, oh, they had to hold towels. And Benny Hill was chasing them and slapping the old man in the head. Fantastic. Fantastic little television show. Now we've got this. Okay, Older School. Benny Hill or this TV show? Older School. And so, you know, that is not the theme song for Coach with Craig T. Nelson. That is Monty Python's Flying, Disgusting, Grotesque, Miserable Circus.
So, I can't believe you put Monty Python in the mix-up.
I did. I kept with a British theme. And just so you know, no matter how long I live, there is nothing funny about a fat, naked man playing a piano in a field. It'll never, ever be funny. Spam, no matter how many times you say it, it's not funny. Monty Python is not funny. And anyone out there that dares to challenge that, Monty Python is terrible. Absolutely terrible. But Older School. Dana, which one of those TV shows is older? Monty Python's Flying Circus or Benny Hill?
Benny Hill is older.
Okay, Joe, Older School. Which one of those TV shows is older?
I think Benny Hill is older as well.
Okay, so you know, Monty Python's Flying Circus debuted on the BBC, or over in England, I should say, in 1969.
Ooh.
Benny Hill debuted on TV in 1955.
Whoa, we got it.
55, wow. Yes,
again... a variation of what became that modern day show. But yes, mm-hmm. Benny Hill did come out in 1955, a long time before, and he never got his just due. He was in syndication for years and years and years, and Benny Hill, you could probably still find it today. But yeah, Monty Python really got all the credit, you know, because their accents were worse. And what's his name? That John, what's his name? John Gleason? Is that the guy's name?
Is that Jackie Gleason's dad?
No. John Gleese, I can't remember the guy's name. They went on and did like Fish Called Wanda movies, and it was just
John Cleese.
Cleese, thank you. Cleese.
Yes, John Cleese.
Yeah, just terrible. Terrible TV show. Okay, let's step it up a couple years. Dana will probably enjoy this.
Okay.
Older school, time for movies. Okay, this is a movie trailer. Take a listen. Older school.
Welcome. The time has come to select one courageous young man and woman for the honor of representing District 12 in the 74th annual Hunger Games.
It's your first year, and my name's only been in there once. I'm not going to pick you.
Primrose Everdeen. Prim! I volunteer as tribute.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. Dana, you had to be a big Hunger Games fan. Were you not?
I never read the books, but I did see the movies, and they're great. That concept has been around for a long time, and I do like the whole battle royale thing that they got going on in there for sure.
And yeah. Safe to say, the first time anyone really saw or heard the name Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah. Was she Mystique before that, though, Joe?
Before the first Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be real close.
I can't remember. But she was in X-Men. She was in that. So I don't know which one came before it, though.
Yeah, that was real close to her first thing, though, mm-hmm. if it wasn't.
Okay, take a listen to this. Older school, which one of these is older? Here's another movie trailer. This is fantastic.
You want it?
It's 8:15 a.m.
It's 18-year-old Scott.
If you want a promotion, you got to earn it.
Parkin tricked me into having a drink 8 o'clock this morning.
Unless your boss isn't sexually harassing you.
Let's see if this thing's working.
Oh, hi. We got our little friend right here. Shabbat shalom. Somebody's circumcised.
You know, yours doesn't sound that bad.
We need to trim some of the fat.
What do you mean by trim the fat?
I want to fire the fat people. We'll start with large March.
March, can you come in here, please?
I thought he was going to get a promotion.
Yeah, no, he is.
I have decided who I want to be our new vice president of sales.
Me.
What do you say?
Nick, please, we're in the middle of a meeting.
Sorry. That's all right. I'll just attribute this to your drinking problem.
We would have to admit our lives would be easier if our boss was born alive.
You can fire Professor Xavier.
You mean Hank?
Creeps me out, rolling around all day in a special little secret chair.
How bad our bosses are.
We're not murderers.
This little sweetheart right here.
My fiance.
Is going to get a peek at my little photo album.
You did all this while I was unconscious?
That's my favorite.
There you go. Horrible Bosses. Fantastic movie. You know what? That needs a rewatch. It's been a while since I've seen that. What a fantastic movie.
You love that movie. Like,
that's
a
good
lot.
One. That's a real, real good one, man.
He's rolling around in his special little secret chair.
It's because he's paralyzed.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean we're going to trim the fat? Well, we're going to fire the fat people.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Oh, man, that's a good movie. So, older school. Dana, which one of those movies is older? Is it Hunger Games or Horrible Bosses?
They are so close because they came out around the same time. I'm going to say that Horrible Bosses is older. I don't know.
Okay, Joe, older school. Which one of those movies?
I think Hunger Games is older.
Probably right.
Hunger Games came out in 2012. Whew. Horrible Bosses came out in 2011.
Oh, you got it, Dana.
So close. I'm going for the tricky.
Dag on it.
Yeah, there you go. That's how we do older school. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I got to go back. Honestly, while we are on vacation, I'm going to watch Horrible Bosses. That needs to be rewatched. It's a funny movie. The first one. Second one's good, but first one is better. That is funny.
By far better. Yeah.
That's before we found out just actually how creepy Kevin Spacey was. And you can see him clear and present in that role. He's mm-hmm. not only creepy on screen, even creepier off screen. Yeah. But that's a damn good movie.
That little fella from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He's,
Charlie Day.
That guy is awesome.
Yeah.
I love him.
I do too.
I'm all about Jason Bateman and that. Jason Bateman. I just, that's I think, where I really started falling in love with Jason Bateman. You know, that's where the man crush started. And I just started looking at him thinking, my God, this guy's been around for so freaking long. And he's finally starting to bust out and do good stuff. I mean, he popped up in that Hancock. He popped up in Starsky and Hutch. You know, he had these small bit roles, but that's when he really started to blossom and become the sleaze puppet that Jason Bateman is. He's fantastic.
Some put him back in Hollywood, and he came back in with a vengeance, dude.
He did. He did. We got to stop. We'll come back. We got bad celebrities. Plus, we got more cash, another blatant bribe. That'll happen. Here goes Limelight. Here, River Dog and Joe Show on a Friday. We got more cash for you. 35 minutes away, we'll give you another blatant bribe worth $1,000. 766-9370. I want to talk about this because I think all people have something, okay? All people do this with one thing or another or have done it, okay? What thing or things do you always try to keep looking very nice? Or what are you saving? Okay. What are you afraid to use or really enjoy because you don't want it wrecked? Okay. What are those things that you try to preserve and really cherish and take care of? 766-9370. Safe to say, do you guys think that everybody throughout their lives or even now have those things that they love them and they got them? And then they get them and like they love it so much they don't really want to use it because they don't want it marked up. They don't want it, I don't know, devalued. They don't want to drop it. They mm-hmm. don't want it dented or dinged. I mean, doesn't everybody have something like that, do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
I would think so. Yeah, totally, dude. Or at least doubles and, you know, of things that they will wear here and there, but, you know, wouldn't take out to get damaged, dirty or cut or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just wonder if you got one of those things, you know, at your house, and again, not so much a collection, something that you probably, you know, intended to use, you really wanted it, and then you get it, and you're like, oh my God, I don't really want to use it. I don't want to mark it up. I want to protect it. I want to keep it on the shelf. You know, if it's a car, I'm only going to drive it on weekends. You know, I'm only going to take it out on sunny days. I won't use it when it rains, that type of thing. What are those things that you really try to preserve and keep nice because you're afraid it'll get wrecked? And you love it so much. 766-9370. Reason we ask is because of this. This is one of the greatest marketing schemes ever, okay? Lamborghini, they just unveiled a new supercar. It's the Essenza SCV12, okay? This car is going to go for about $2 million or more, okay? They're only going to make 40. Almost all 40 of them have been sold. There's only a few left. But here's the deal, okay? Lamborghini out of Italy. They're encouraging all the owners to store this car in a special garage, okay? And so, you know, this car is not street legal, okay? You can't drive it on the streets. This car is macho. This thing's got a V12 in it. It's fast. It's cool. It's one of the greatest cars Lamborghini's ever built, okay? So it's not street legal. Everyone buying it knows that. But Lamborghini says to protect this investment, you should keep it in a special garage. That special garage is at the company headquarters in Italy, okay? And what you do when you buy this car is they're going to have parties and they're going to have meetups and they're going to have group events where people can travel to Italy and see their cars and drive them if they want on a secure location. And owners will have access to a secure webcam so they can look at their car and check in on it whenever they want. And if they want to drive the car, Lamborghini will arrange for it to be transported to almost any racetrack in the world, okay? You can only drive it at racetracks, and it has to be stored in their garage. And I'm thinking about this. I'm like, this is genius. What company sells stuff that you can't have? Lamborghini. How do we know they're even building these cars? They're building a car and selling you a car that they keep at their garage. That is genius.
You've probably got to pay a storage fee. You've probably got to pay a fee to have it shipped to the racetrack you're going to drive it on. They probably get you with everything.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. This, you know, if you're going out this weekend kicking tires, you know, this ain't the car for you. You know, if you're trying to make ends meet and you're calling around trying to get the best deal on insurance, probably not going to buy one of these new Lambos. I'm kind of thinking. But I ask that. What is it that you buy? You know, and you really love it, but you don't use it because you don't want it wrecked. And I'm thinking about this. I'm like, my God, who's going to drop over $2 million for this car that they can't keep in their garage? And I assume Lamborghini would let you keep the car in your garage. But I think they want to keep tabs on them because they want to, you know, control where you drive it and this and that and all the other stuff. But again, there's cars out there that are faster and even more dangerous that are street legal. So I'd be willing to bet that Lambo would probably let you take the car home if you wanted, but they say that it needs special care, special temperature, all the climate settings. I mean, this car is meant to be preserved and cherished forever. This is like the kind of car you hand down for generations upon generations, and it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. It's just crazy to think someone would buy something and then not have it.
No kidding.
Not use it.
That is crazy. Or not have it easily usable if you did want to, you know?
Yeah. I buy that car, legal or no legal, tags or no tags. I spend $2 million on a car. I'm driving it. And I don't care. I'm going to drive it daily. I'm going to get in that car, not even have license plates on it. And you know what? You want to give me a ticket? Catch me. Simple as that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm not even going to tag it. I don't even care. You give me the keys to that, and that thing, if it starts, I'm going, and I'm taking off. And you know what?
It better start.
Yeah, right?
If I get hungry or I got to go shopping or whatever, I'm parking it. You know, I'm going to park it out way out in the parking lot, but I'll drive that damn thing because, you know, hanging on to stuff anymore, I don't do it, and I used to. So 766-9370. What are those things that you hang on to because you don't want wrecked? You love them so much, you cherish them. Let's go to line one. We've got a call here. Let's talk to Murphy. Let me turn the phone on. Murphy, good morning. Welcome, Murphy. How are you? What do you have that you love but you really take care of and you don't use it? Murphy, you with us?
Calling. Yeah, do you hear me?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hello. You hear me?
Yes, Murphy, what's up?
Okay, I'm not calling for myself because I got lots of nice things. I got a Mazda MX-5. I got a Mazda 3 that's a couple years old. I drive them both all the time. I don't get something to have it sit around and not use it. I appreciate stuff. But my wife, on the other hand, she collects Yoda stuff. She's got so much Yoda stuff in the package, sitting up on the mantle of the bed. She's got a Yoda that costs $150 that if you were to take it out of the box, which she never does, you can talk to it. It will respond to you. It's got a lightsaber, and it'll swing it all around, but she won't take it out of the box and use it. So now they got Baby Yoda. She's in love with Baby Yoda. She's got all this Baby Yoda T-shirts, Baby Yoda blanket throws, all kinds of Baby Yoda stuff. And it's still wrapped up, and she won't use it. And it just drives me crazy. I bought her one the other day. I said, okay, I'm going to buy you this Baby Yoda throw, but you better use it. So she finally put it across her reclining chair.
Murphy, does she make you say sex with you I want on those special nights?
Do you have to talk about Yoda to get things you want?
Gracious.
Only if she uses a Yoda blanket.
Hey Murphy, did you see the Baby Yoda? It's like a teddy bear type Baby Yoda. They got him now. I got my son one the other day. No, it's just like a little teddy bear. You know, you can snuggle with it in bed and whatever.
She got one from Build-A-Bear.
Well, they made a
There's a Build-A-Bear. Yeah,
there is one. Oh wow, they just had it up on the store shelf there at Target. It's just like, you know, like a teddy bear Baby Yoda. It was the cutest thing ever. Yeah,
so Murphy, let me ask you this, Murphy. Does it piss you off that she keeps the stuff? Because you said you like using the stuff. Does it bother you that she spends all the money on this stuff and then really doesn't enjoy it? Or are you okay with it?
No, I don't care at all. It's very entertaining.
Yeah. That's awesome. Great answer. Great answer. Yeah.
I appreciate it, Murphy. 766-9370. What are those things that you bought? You loved it, you get it, and then you want to hang on to it because you don't want it wrecked. You love it so much you'd hate to see anything happen to it. Dana, anything that you can think of? Anything for you?
So he did jumpstart my memory a little bit because there are like nerdy collectibles that I will at least take them out of the box and put them on display, but I don't play with them. I don't play with any of them, but the big thing that I keep around are two pairs of boots, and they both were a lot of money. One was a gift and the other was a pair I bought myself, but they were so expensive that I don't want them to get ruined. So I will wear them maybe once a year, but I rarely wear them just because I'm so afraid of getting them ruined, and I'm really rough on shoes. So they're just, Dana, so expensive.
Are they a Western looking boot? Is it like a go-go boot? Is it like a knee high? What kind of boot is this? Is it like a hooker boot? Like what style
here? Golly. The one pair, it's like a kind of velvet suede gray ankle boot with a heel.
Sexy.
And a bow. And I probably haven't worn those in years because they're really, really high heels. And then the other one is like a wedged knee-high boot with like buttons going up the side, and they're leather.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Those I don't want to get wet. Actually, neither of them can really get wet because they'll just get ruined. But I'm just so afraid of breaking them because they're such nice boots.
So Dana, if you came home today and the captain said, hello, love, mm-hmm. Would you mind going in and putting on one of those pairs of boots for me and just kind of mm-hmm. walking around the house? Would you do that?
Yeah, that's fine. But like me going into public with them, not so great.
Okay.
She won't get near the sink or the bathtub, anywhere water can splash on them.
No, and you know this about Uggs. Uggs are the same way. If you get them wet, they kind of get this weird discoloration. And I finally learned a trick to fix it. But I was so afraid to wear my Uggs in the water for the longest time because I thought they were going to get ruined. And they're expensive boots, too. But I actually... Yeah. Do wear those because they're comfortable. But
Joe, is there anything that you've got that you hang on to because you're afraid it might get ruined or wrecked? Something you love and you don't want anything to happen to it?
Well, that guy Murphy on the phone got me thinking too when he was talking about his wife's collectibles with Yoda. I mean, wearable, usable items. This is dumb because I hate flip flops. I would never wear them, but. Some places you gotta have them. You're gonna go to the beach. You're gonna go to the pool. You're gonna do stuff like that. You know, you gotta have a pair of flip flops. And I couldn't ever find a pair that I liked. I need a pair that's one size too big so I don't stub my toes when I'm wearing them out.
Now, pause, because this is something that's always bothered me about Joe. You've long heard us talk about Joe. He pulls his socks up so high that the gray heel, you know, you got a lot of socks have a heel and a toe. He pulls his socks up so high that the heel hangs over his shoe. Same thing when he buys flip-flops. He gets like a size 7. So it's a size too big, and it's way bigger than like his foot. Or like a size, what is it, a size 5 that you buy?
Yeah, you goofball. It's clearly a 4.5, and you know that.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Joe just showed up at my house, you know. He's had on his board shorts, and he comes walking in. And he's got these long-ass flip-flops on, and they're like double the size of his foot. And he's walking around, and the flops are clucking. I'm like... Joe, how come those flip-flops are so big? And he says, because I'm scared I'm going to stub my toe.
I do. I do a lot of toe stubbing. I don't know what to do with that, but I got to buy flip-flops. Got to be 1 inch larger than, or one shoe size larger than my foot.
It's too big for you, though.
Only children stub their toes.
I'm a child. I have no problem with that.
You eat ham and cheese and Lunchables and Hot Pockets.
Yes,
a lot of times I'm really worried about what I'm doing for the day and focused on what I got going on, and so I don't really watch what's in front of me or below me. So I do. I stub the heck out.
Oh my gosh.
Joe, have you thought about this? Have you tried lifting up your feet
when I'm walking? Yeah, I thought about that too.
We've always heard about people that drag their knuckle draggers. Joe's a toe dragger.
I am.
Stub your toe walking in flip flops.
I don't know. I do not know, but it's a common thing for me, and I've hated it all my life. That's probably why I have such a thing with flip flops and long pants, because I can't wear them functionally anywhere in public. Gosh. And I hate toes.
Have you ever seen those women or those guys? They do the opposite of what Joe does. They get a flip-flop that's like a size too small, and their toes kind of curl over the top. What do you think about that look?
I'll vomit if I see that. That's awful. So you've got toe dragging ground on that. Walking in the bathroom, you got, you know, urine toe, all that stuff.
It's icky. Like the toes actually wrap around the front of the sandal or the flip-flop to actually hold on to it better. It's more of a talon clinging onto the front to give them more
talons. Call them talons. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. talon toenails. That's icky. That brings back a horrible memory for me.
Let me ask you this. Dana said that she likes to keep her boots new because they were expensive, but you, Joe, what do you think this pair of flip-flops is that you're scared to wear? What did that cost? $6?
$19.99, if maybe $24.99. I mean, they're not. It's nothing fancy at all. They're just a pair of Reef flip flops. But I can't. I could only find one other pair of them, the kind that I like. And my stinking little puppy dog that I love so much, Ferret, has chewed it up. Now I got no, you know, flip flops left, and I'm gonna have to crack that new pair. And once they get used and possibly chewed, I'm done. I got no flip flops. I'm gonna have to go barefoot if I go to the beach.
All right, 766-9370. Let's go to line one. Sean, appreciate you hanging. What's going on this morning, Sean? What do you have that you are afraid to use or that you want to keep protected because you don't want anything to happen to it? What's up?
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I have, and Dog, I think you'll appreciate this. If you think back to Roseville several years ago, Sammy Hagar used to have a restaurant, right?
Yes, he did.
Well, inside, he had guitars that you could buy, and you could get them customized, whatever. So I have one of the rockin' the Island Bar and Grill guitars that I had signed by him and pictures taken with him and everything. Pretty cool. But it hangs on my wall in my office, and I do not play it because it's got his signature on it. It's so cool, and I'm afraid that if I do play it, not only will it, you know, damage the guitar, but also it'll rub the signature off. So it just sits there for me to look at. It looks pretty.
And so I'm guessing that you play a guitar, and I'd be willing to bet there's tons of musicians out there, tons of musicians that either play, you know, there's a lot of guys that will go out and buy other famous guitars that they've always loved, or, you know, rock stars, when they get some money, they'll go out and get these pieces of equipment or whatever because so-and-so played them and they want to use them. But there's also a lot of other musicians that they get these pieces like you, and they don't want to touch them, and they just want to look at them because they're just so spectacular. You know, and they're so cool, you'd hate for anything to happen to it. So I totally get that. I guarantee, I bet there's more guitars that have been purchased by amateur guitar players just to hang on a wall as there are guitars they bought to play, truthfully.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So, okay, I appreciate it. That's pretty cool. 766-9370 before we go.
What about you?
I'm trying to think because I used to be one of those guys that did that. I didn't want anything to get ruined. You know, when you grow up poor and you get something cool, you're like, oh my God, I got to keep it. It's got to be nice. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, no way, I'm going to use it. I love it. And just the other day, true story, you know, I told you I was getting into cutlery and kitchen knives. Yeah. I got this collectible 2-piece paring knife, chef knife set from Mustaf. Okay. But here's the thing. It's a carbon steel blade. And it's got the brass tabs on it and the wood handle. And carbon steel, if you know, it patinas and it'll rust and all that. Mm. So it turns colors. And I've been wanting to use it and wanting to use it. So I bought this knife set. I got it. And it's just been sitting there on the block. And I haven't used it. And the other day I was like, you know what? I love looking at it. And it's really pretty and shiny. But it's a tool. It's got a cut. So I broke it out. I hit it on the steel, and I just started chopping it. Tomatoes, citrus, all this stuff that would really get in and eat at the metal. And I left it on the cutting board, too, so it would kind of rust up and patina up. And I left it there for like 30 minutes, and I just started washing it. Now it's getting all cool looking and all ugly and all spotted, and I started using it. And I'm like that now with anything. Now, if it's a collectible, there's stuff that you put on a shelf to look at, sure. But if it's usable now, I use it. Like I say, that Lamborghini that we were talking about, I would jump that damn thing. I would get in that car and I would drive it until they cuffed me and they threw me in jail. If it's there and it's cool, I'm going to use it now. There's no more just sitting at it, looking at it, lying in state for me. I'll use everything.
What about money?
That's a really good one, Joe.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Now money, man, boy, I love to just stare at bricks of that. You know,
I was just going
to
say, that lies in state all over your house and your bank accounts and everything.
No, to me, looking at a dollar far better than spending it. I've always believed that. I really, really have. Yeah. Yeah. I just got to work on the collection process of it.
Yeah.
More of it. Coming back, we'll give you more money. All right. You can spend it. You can keep it. Whatever you want to do. Another blatant bribe is coming up. Another $1,000. Led Zeppelin with All My Love. And I'm going to dedicate that song right now to one Ashley Graham. Goodness gracious. After 6 months, just after having your child, jump on the Doug and Joe Show blog and you will see Ashley Graham in swimsuits. She's got a one piece. She's got a two piece. And when you look at the photos, you can almost hear the elastic on the swimsuits giving way. Just absolutely incredible. Stunning.
Gosh.
Oh my God.
You just like comb the internet for these things. I mean, who's hotter, dog? Ashley Graham in her swimsuit or Martha Stewart?
Oh, oh. Lord.
Oh, yeah. Last week we had that, thirst trap. Martha Stewart, we put that up. Mm-hmm. Ooh, golly. You got me in a corner, man, against a rock hard corner.
Oh, gosh, don't say that.
It's okay. Let me ask you this, Dana. Is it before dinner or after dinner?
Oh, what?
What does that
well, it matters because, Dana, if it's before dinner, I'm going to go Martha Stewart, you know, because she can cook for me. If it's after dinner, I'm going for dessert. Ashley Graham cracker crust. She is the cheesecake above my Graham cracker crust. That is something there. Yeah.
I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's the other thing, too, with Ashley Graham. If it's before or after dinner. After dinner, Ashley Graham, because she's going to be even more plump and Rubenesque, and I'll probably be hungry because Ashley Graham will probably clear what's on her plate and then mine.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Sure.
That is okay. But jump on, check it out. Ashley Graham showing off all the stretch marks, showing off both bathing suits, and she does not care. Tell me, Dana, is that not what a woman should look like?
Absolutely. I seriously thank you, Ashley Graham, for showing off your tiger stripes. You are a beautiful, beautiful, amazing woman.
Tiger stripes. I love that.
Meow.
Well, that's what they are. I mean, that's what a lot of women call them. At least I call them that.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. Women, you know, they get those stripes. Dana calls them tiger stripes. She's talking about stretch marks. Mm-hmm. She's very dark complected. And she does have some extra, you know, elasticity on her. So you're going to see more definition in those tiger stripes with her. And she's like, you know what? I've got two kids now. I don't care. Well, does she have one, Dana, or two?
One.
I think she has two.
That
now.
Was her
one?
First.
Oh, it was her first.
I thought. Yeah.
I thought so as well. Yeah.
Well, I have more of them. Yeah, someone needs to give her more children. I mean, just daily. She should be getting pregnant. I mean, just about every 9 months, 10 months.
Oh my gosh! She should be spitting kids out. That is so hard on your body.
Could you imagine, Hazel Pete?
It is hard on the body, but Dana, look at it. Look at hers. I mean, does it look hard on her body? It's fantastic.
Well, I don't know. 6 months postpartum, there's still stuff that's probably going on a little bit.
I mean, she's 22 probably, isn't she? I mean, she's young as all get
out. A little
out.
Bit older no, than that, but yeah.
She's older than that. She's like 29, 30, 31. Look at how old she is, Dana, because that is a big factor, too. I want to know how
32.
Old she is. 32.
Oh, wow, she's older than I thought she was.
She's older than Dana. See, Dana? There's no reason why you shouldn't be doing, you know, stuff on Instagram and doing photos for our Facebook page.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my
about?
Goodness gracious, man.
I am not showing anybody my tiger stripes. Those are mine.
That's right, Dana.
I don't want to see your tiger stripes, Dana. I just want to see your boots that we talked about in the earlier segment.
All right. Well, that's not what I thought you were talking
Good
about.
Lord almighty. Yes.
Dana, please show us your boots.
No, not happening. Sorry, guys.
Honestly, jump on, though. Check it out. Ashley Graham, waiting for you, the Doug and Joe Show Facebook page. You know what? If I'm lying, I'm dying, but agree to disagree. I think she looks fantastic. And I mean, with every pound she gains and every child she has, and she's one of the hottest models in the world right now. So finally, and Joe knows I've been on this crusade since I've known Joe and even before, you know, all these just coked out heroin addict supermodels that weighed 18 pounds after dinner, soaking wet, you know, covered in oil. They were just so knock-kneed and so sickly. So it's finally good to see, after all these years, the movement or tidal wave has finally taken shape. And
really?
It is coming. Run for the hills, because when that tidal wave crashes, yummy, there is gravy all over. I can't wait.
That is foul. I mean, the way you speak of these things is just despicable. Just despicable.
I'm being sincere, though. For so many years, everyone wanted those protruding pelvic bones. They wanted to see chest bone. They wanted to see, like, concave stomach and hunched over shoulders and basically women in bikinis on life support. And I never, ever understood it. So I'm finally glad that women out there that eat healthy, that feel healthy, that were always self-conscious about their weight are stripping down and showing it off as something that is sexier to be desired, because it is.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. It's nice for people to feel confident and proud in their own skin, in their own body. We should have been pushing that for years instead of making people feel bad about the way they look.
Hey, I have been. And if there's any women out there, always, I'll lend you an eye. If you're a little self-conscious, if you're a little on the fence, you don't think that you should be posing in a bikini, send me off the shots, send over a couple, and I'll tell you if you're good to go. Hell, I'll even post them. We'll put them on the Dog and Joe Show page.
Oh, I'm sure they'd love that. Yeah, absolutely.
You are just such a saint. I mean, it must be difficult to carry such a heavy burden.
It is. And you know what? All this time, finally, you've come to my side to see what the load is I actually carry. Thank you.
We have to give away cash.
Good out, Dana.
Oh, come on. I was just getting going. Well, all right. Go to the Dog and Joe Show Facebook page. You can check it out. Ashley Graham, and not only a one piece, but a two piece. And we'll give you $1,000 right now. Another blatant bribe. So you can go out and buy that big old gal a big old pretty swimsuit. If you're not a big old gal and you want to look more like Ashley, graham cracker crust, hell, go out and hit a smorgasbord. You know, get out and get to eat. Get out there and eat something. So $1,000. Good luck. Make sure you take advantage of it. Text it back to 200-200. After that, we'll play Classic Rock 93.7, The River That Goes Genesis, Land of Confusion, Dog and Joe Show on a Friday, our final day until we take next week off for a little vacation. And since we're talking about vacation, one way you can do it, and I don't know how many people caught this. This is a new trend going on. We talked about here in Sac, Hotel Sawyer is doing this, where you can get away for the day and you can hang out in a cabana. You get Wi-Fi and you can go down to the Hotel Sawyer and do your work because you're at home. You can get out of the house and go do it at the Hotel Sawyer. You know, they're doing all these work Wi-Fi packages. So now the airline, Allegiant Air, they're doing the same thing. Okay. And what they want to do is they want to give you a package. Okay, and they want you to work from Vegas. And what you do is you go to Allegiant Airline and you get your tickets and they will take you, okay, from where you are to Vegas so you can fly, stay, work, and play. That's the pitch. And this is what you get. $340, okay, what they'll do is give you a four-night weekday stay for one at MGM Grand, okay, and you stay through mid-September. So they're selling these hotel air packages now, and you can go onto the website, $340, and you can go play, stay, and hang out in Vegas and do your work and then come home. People going to do it? You think it's going to fly off the shelves? People going to jump on Legionnaire and go to Vegas so they can get nothing done or even less done than they already are not doing now?
Oh, come on now. You know a lot of us are working way harder from home than we have been in the past.
Well, that is true. That is true. but that's the thing. You're going to go to Vegas and you're going to set up and you're going to, I mean, technically, you know what? We could do this. The three of us could technically do it. We can get Wi-Fi. We got internet. We just pack up all this stuff and we could go to Vegas and do the show, and it would sound no different than us doing it in our houses. No one would know. I mean, truly.
Absolutely true. If you work like that, you have a job like that, you could do it easily, I would think. And people that are just sick and tired of being at their house and can't, they may take advantage of this, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and Dog, I'm kind of thinking of the people who go to Vegas, you know, yearly or bi-yearly or a couple times a year. I mean, those people are probably having a little bit of a Vegas withdrawal right now because it's something they look forward to every year and they're not doing it. So maybe it would be the perfect excuse to do it, you know?
Yeah. It's not a bad deal, but here's the thing, and I'll just tell you this, because I've seen the specials on Allegiant Air on television. I've seen the documentaries. I've seen the news stories. I believe Allegiant Air is still flying out of Stockton, and that's the MO, okay, of Allegiant Air. They've got all these small hubs that take you to vacation spots, so they got flight service here in California that'll take you to Vegas. If you're on the East Coast, they probably have cities that'll take you to the boardwalk. to Atlantic City. That's kind of their MO. Really cheap flights from moderate cities to vacation party type destinations. But I've seen all the horror stories of a Legionnaire, and I even heard a pilot that flew for a Legionnaire, and he said, I will not allow my family to fly on the planes that I work for. And he said, and I can get them dirt cheap, tickets or free tickets. They could damn near fly for free, but me being a pilot of a Legionnaire, they are banned from flying on the airline I work for. And this is my thing. I would rather go into a Florida ICU unit, naked with no PPE and help people that are really, really sick from COVID than to get on one of those damn Allegiant aircraft, honestly.
Wow. That is that's a statement right there now. I mean,
sure is, from a man who defends Stockton regularly, too.
Wowzers.
No, I don't really defend Stockton, Dana. This has everything to do with the Legion Airline. There's a chance that you could contract COVID and make it out alive.
True.
Okay, I don't think there's a chance that you're going to make it anywhere on a Legion Air. And that's just me personally, what I've read and seen. I don't think you're that you could survive that.
Well, when pilots are saying that about their own airlines, that is a little frightening.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, true story. People get on there and they're like, Jesus Christ, can I smoke on this airplane? No, you haven't been able to smoke on an airplane for a long, long time. The reason that you think you can smoke on a Legionnaire is because they have planes from the 1950s that have cigarette ashtrays in the armrest. And people say that there's wires that hang down from the fuselage and they smell fires burning while they travel, and they hear bolts hitting the floor and they see like wings and shrapnel falling off. I mean, these are all true stories.
Yeah. Hell,
even when the CEO and the lead captain of the airline, they were going to go out and do a test run, they ran the plane out of gas, out of fuel, and they came skidding in for an emergency landing and ran into a big hangar at an airport. This was them in the inception of starting a cheap airline. They ran it out of fuel in the air, made an emergency landing, and smashed into a shed at an airport. Okay, that was like the maiden voyage. That right there tells you that you should rethink or look into the safety records of a Legionnaire. And again, they could have cleaned up their act. I don't know what's happened since. But boy, you think it's lucky to win money in Vegas? Get on a Legionnaire. Okay. The luck starts the moment you board that plane and the moment you get off in Vegas. Right there, you've won the lottery. There's no more gambling to be done. That's it right there.
That is funny, dude. I think you're absolutely right about that. I believe that was that very first maiden voyage that they hit that thing.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, it was like the second flight. I mean, I think you're right. I think it was the first time they flew one of those things.
No, the very first maiden voyage with the captain of the airline and the CEO, they got in a plane and it ran out of fuel midair and they had to make an emergency somewhat crash landing.
Can you believe that? That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you want to do it, if that hasn't excited you to want to go to Vegas and stay at the MGM, with an inclusive package, I don't know what will, but it is going on.
Right.
We got to take a break. We'll come back. We got to talk about sport and a bunch of sporting stuff we haven't gotten to all week, and we got to get to happy news.
This is Dean Thomas. Most of it being Thomas after, but instead Omaha, the ball is moved.
Omaha. Set. Die. Left side. Right side.
Are you ready? Dana, ready for football, ready for basketball, all kinds of sport news we got to get to. We've not done one of these, all week. Lots of stuff going on in the world of sports. We'll start with this one. This one's pretty good, and I don't know how many people know what's going on with the NBA, but they're down at Disney World in Orlando, and all the players are down there, no fans. They all have to stay within their bubble. They've got like a 165-page manifesto or manual of the things they can and can't do. They've got their own barber. They've got, their own food service. They cannot leave. And if they break the bubble, which some have done, they're quarantined for 10 days. So they can't play. And a couple of the players, I think, had some family stuff going on. So they were allowed to attend funerals or family emergencies. But if it's not okayed by the NBA, you cannot leave the bubble without being quarantined for 10 days. And they're all doing it. They're not having sex. Their wives aren't there. They can't do anything. Like I say, they got their own barber. They got a lot of people, and business is helping them out. so they can keep them, you know, in these hotel rooms. They can't share towels. They can't share deodorant. They cannot have anything the way they used to have it to make this season happen. And it's working thus far, okay, because the NBA says this. There have been zero positive COVID-19 tests for the second straight week.
Oh. And
you're talking about 300-some-odd players. And there was a time when some NBA guys were testing, and coaches and trainers and all that, they were testing positive, but they have gone now for 2 weeks without a single test of 344. So the bubble's working. It is a good idea, but since they can't go out and do anything, what they're doing is they're starting to do beer challenges and beer ice bath challenges, and all these players now are starting to really drink. They're drinking a lot of beer. They want Brett Kavanaugh there. Brett Kavanaugh should have gotten into the NBA because he likes beer, and so do the NBA players. And they're doing all these chugging contests and drinking games, and I guess all this stuff showing up on social, and people are watching these guys just get railed inside their hotel rooms.
Oh my gosh,
that is that's what they always turn to. They always act like young kids, man. Whenever you've got to stay in or do something, or you can't go out and be on the town, you always resort back to that high school, college mentality. You just go back to being boys.
Yeah, go get the beer bong. You betcha. You know what? How do you make more fun out of a 6-pack or 12-pack of beer? Well, you drink it at twice the speed, and you start really chugging it. You put it in tubes, and you start standing on kegs. Yeah, oh,
boys.
Because beer, not fun enough. You know, when you got a case of it, let's see how fast we can drink a case of it. Let's show the people out there, since they can't attend the games, let's show them what we're doing in quarantine. So, yeah, no harm, no foul. You know, as long as they're staying in, they're adhering to the rules, people are getting to see it on TV, let them drink beer, you know? They're all going to walk out of quarantine like 150 pounds heavier. They're all going to have beer guts. They're going to look like the Iraqi soldiers they showed. You know, we went over to Desert Storm. They showed all our troops, all our young guys over there, all spelt, fit as fiddles. Then they show the Iraqi soldiers. They're like 90 years old with beer guts, trudging through the sand with gray hair. It was terrible.
Yeah. It's like when they had Thor back in the last Avengers movie.
Oh, and he was gone Thor. For a while.
And he was fat. He was beer drinking and all
he
that.
He was depressed, Joe.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so funny to see people that do that like that.
A little fat Thor.
I did too.
Carol Scarsella. Okay, she passed away July 19th. You don't know who she is. But she's important because she's a Buffalo Bills fan. Okay, and a lot of people that don't like Tom Brady really love her because what she did is in her obituary, the daughter, I should say, what the daughter did for the mom who passed. She was a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan, but she was also a lifelong Tom Brady hater. Okay? So, this is how it read. She was an avid sports fan. The obituary read, she loved the New York Yankees and LeBron James. She hated Tom Brady.
I love this.
Yeah.
That's it. I love it.
That's how it ends?
Yes. So clean.
That's how it ends. That's how it ends. And there's a little bit more to the tweet.
That's cool.
The granddaughter said this. This is my grandma. I miss her endlessly, but I'm glad she's remembered. And the people of Buffalo also share her deep-rooted hatred of Tom Brady. So anytime anyone comments about her, they always put in the fact that grandma or mom hated Tom Brady.
Love it.
That is really funny, actually. Oh, that's humorous
amazing.
To me.
It really Not is. All heroes wear capes.
That's right. Wow. That's right.
I don't.
Some have aprons.
A growing list of New England Patriot players are opting out of the 2020 season over COVID-19 fears. Dante Hightower and Marcus Cannon both confirmed on Tuesday earlier this week they would not play this year, and they're expected to make more announcements of those who do not want to play. I ask this, okay? This is just me. Is them not wanting to play? Or is it because Cam Newton is now in charge? And it makes me wonder if these guys have seen Cam Newton practicing and they've seen him and they're not confident. So they think they might set the season out. And if you remember, Cam Newton's only got a 1-year deal. So I think, it's just me, I think they're not confident. Even though in their division they're expected to do well again because they're the Patriots, I think these players see something that they're not happy with, and I think that if they sit out, They can say, one, well, you can't blame me. We're in a pandemic. But two, it puts more weight and pressure on Cam Newton to get him out of there after the season, or to show the coaches that we're not happy with Cam. I wonder. What do you think, Joe?
I you know what? And if that's the case, that think about how that sits with him. I mean, you got to come in there and do that. You've got to try and lead a team that really kind of want nothing to do with you, and they don't really believe in you or back you. I mean, that would be hard. And I got to think that would mess with your mind and your mental state tremendously when you're out there on the field.
Yeah. And here's the thing, as we saw in the Super Bowl that the Broncos won, Cam Newton, not that confident. When stuff starts going downhill, he's not able to apprehend a situation and command a field or bring it back.
Yeah.
He gives up very easily. And again, nobody has said this but me. It's my speculation that these players with the Patriots, and again, I know a lot of people are fearful of getting this, and it does spread throughout sports very easily. So I could be wrong, but I just like to think that there might be some validity to the fact that these players are opting out on the Patriots because they're not sure, that Cam Newton's sure, of what he can do for the team. I don't know.
You know, also, Doug, they are on the East Coast, so it did blow up there pretty big, and maybe they had relatives or friends of theirs that got it and got sick, and maybe, you know, it could possibly have scared them a little bit as well. So there could be some legitimacy to it, but I kind of think your theory. And that sucks. That's going to be sad for him. It's going to be a real hard year for him if that's the case.
I wonder. Man, in the history of baseball cards, okay, and that's what they're saying, in the history of baseball cards, well, I should say in the history of Topps Now baseball cards, the best-selling card is the baseball card of one Dr. Anthony Fauci, okay, mid-pitch. They made this into a baseball card. People love it. When he threw out the ball last week with the Nationals, it right now is selling like hotcakes already. Okay. 51,500 cards have been sold. Topps got on Twitter and said, new record. Topps Now card sells an all-time high print, clocking in at 51,512 cards. Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Whoa. That's incredible. Well, yeah. I mean, that's just, people are crazy, man. That's going to be worth something sometime, isn't it? They're actually going to make that card worth something if you've got that down the years down the road.
I don't know what they usually print. That seems like a lot of baseball cards to be out there. I don't know how valuable they'll become. I think it's the novelty of it, but I don't think that it's going to be all that valuable 5 years from now. You know, hope to God there's people around that are still alive after we get through this pandemic that remember who he was and who he is. But yeah, selling like hotcakes. Dr. Anthony Fauci with an awful, awful setup, zero mechanics, did not even get close to a glove, terrible pitch. And I think that's the other thing. People think it's funny that that he got out there and made just such a mess of it. But people are buying the card, so go get yours.
That's hilarious to me, man. That's funny.
One more piece, sporting. Okay, we told you about this last time. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., it is going to happen, and it's going to happen here in California. They're going to set the date. It'll be pay-per-view. Mike Tyson now going around doing the junket, talking to all the TV shows. Okay, so he was on Jimmy the other night, and Jimmy Fallon, and they started talking about, you know, the fight, yada, 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 Jones Jr. Mike Tyson says, if UFC superstar Conor McGregor was his next opponent in his return to the boxing ring, he'd beat the hell out of Notorious, saying, I'm going to kick his ass, end quote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's see that one happen. I got to tell you what, no chance in hell for that kid to be able to beat him. No way in the world.
No. No, absolutely not, and I would pay big, big money to see it. If you got tired of seeing McGregor, you know, dance around with Mayweather, if you didn't think he showed up swinging with the Diaz fights, this I would pay, and I'm telling you, I would lay down HD package. Okay, I'm not going to save the $10 on this one. I'd pay $250 to watch this, to see Tyson get in there with McGregor and just knock the beard off his chin and the head from his shoulders. Mike Tyson would annihilate Conor McGregor, and this is what I want to see. I want to see how tough Conor McGregor is. I want to see Notorious really step up and put that money where his mouth is. Jump in that ring with Tyson.
No way.
A lot older. Tyson would pulverize Conor McGregor, and I would pay big money to see it.
I'll pay big money to watch Tyson get in the ring with anybody right now. I mean, I cannot believe gray-bearded. They're showing him on. They keep showing him he's going to fight some kind of a shark here pretty soon with Shark Week, and his son's putting on floaties on his arm. He's talking about how he's working out.
They're not going to do that, are they? He's going to do a Shark Week thing?
Oh, yeah, him and Will Smith both, dude. Tyson is fighting a shark.
Oh, God.
He's going to punch it and probably knock it out. I mean, I have no idea what he could do underwater, but I would imagine it hurts.
Yeah, remember that time Michael Phelps raced a shark, like, 20 yards away from the shark on the other side of the boat, protected in a cage, and they raced a shark on TV. Let it go, Shark Week.
Yeah, Will Smith's going to get underwater there and overact or outact one, do something like that with him. I don't know what he's doing, but I think it's got something to do with that.
Wow. Yeah. The fight between Conor and McGregor would almost certainly never, ever happen. So, Conor McGregor's 32, Mike Tyson, 54. To me, that's just a number. I guess that they are pretty good friends, and they've smoked weed together. So it's not going to come to fruition like a lot of us had hoped. They just sit around and they get stoned together, and I don't think the fight's ever going to happen. But I would love to see that because Tyson would dismantle McGregor.
He's hungry for some reason. Maybe it is the fact that he needs money or whatever it is, man. But he is hungry. He's all over TV right now, and they got him working out. So he most certainly is going to start fighting.
I'll tell you why he's hungry, Joe. He's sitting around smoking dope. It's called the munchies.
Could be, too. Yeah, he's got a huge marijuana farm. Huge. Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like he's growing it to sell. Sounds like he's sitting around smoking it all.
Yeah. I know. It's funny to me.
I hope we have time to do some happy news. It doesn't look like we're going to, but hopefully we can. We'll play the minute work for you. We also got to get 93 minutes commercial free rolling and more cash at 9:30. Quickly, just one piece of happy news over no music, no intro or anything. This is pretty fantastic. We got to get to at least this one. Helen Mogan, was born August 2nd. 1915. That means on Sunday she'll be celebrating her 105th birthday. Wow. Okay.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. Georgia woman. Okay. She's 105. She's been around since 1915. Woodrow Wilson was president. America had not even entered World War I yet. The community loves her. Everybody knows her. And all her family, the granddaughters, and everyone else wanted to throw her a big 105-year-old bash. But since COVID, everything that's going on with the pandemic, they know they can't safely do that. So what she's asked others to do is to get on, and there's a website, you can create a virtual birthday card for 105-year-old Helen. And they're going to display all the birthday cards, and it lets you pick font. You can pick pictures. You can send more messages. Whatever you want to do, if you Google it, you can make a card, and you can send it to Helen so she can celebrate 105 years in America. Wow.
Man, I think that is awesome. I love how people are doing that for folks. That is really, really cool to me. I appreciate that.
It is cool, but here's the thing. And again, I know this is happy news, but you're 105, okay? I'm 48. Joe, you're 40. What are you, 4 or 5?
You act like you're 105.
Yes, you do. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Dana. Just so you know, Dana, you're going to be a MILF officially. You'll be 31 in a couple weeks.
Stop that.
Yeah. But my point is, we're quite a bit younger than Helen, okay? Mm-hmm. If I'm 105, okay, and I've made it to 105, COVID or no goddamn COVID, I want a birthday party, okay? And I know Helen's a woman, but I'm a guy. I want to see, naked women jumping out of a birthday cake. I want there to be a keg. I want there to be...
Oh, my God. You're 105 in this scenario.
Yes, I am. Yes, I want cocaine. I want heroin. I want it to look like Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks. I want there to be a dead horse on an elevator. I want it to be something...
Oh, my God.
I want it to be something so big and so boomy that no one ever forgets about it. And here's the thing. Really? After all that, the COVID takes you out at 105. What has she endured and seen? I mean, think about the viruses and the flus and the bugs and everything this woman has been through. It's like, I'm 105. You know what? If you guys are worried about the virus, okay, that's on you. But I'm 105. I think I can handle it. If I can't, I've handled enough by now. But congratulations, Helen.
Man, that's amazing. That really that is amazing. Cool. In this day and age with everything out there that can kill you and the
wow
pollutants and all that, that's something.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. And I'm looking at a picture of her. She looks pretty decent. Like you see a lot of these people that get to that century mark and go beyond it. You know, some of them look like, you know, they're 1,000, but then you see a lot of them that look like they're 80.
Yeah.
She's one of the ones that does not look 105. So happy birthday, Helen. That's big.
Then you'll catch some people, too, that like 70s, early mid-70s, or what they look like, they're 250.
That's you.
Yeah, I know I will. That's I know you. I will. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We got to stop. We'll come back. 93 minutes commercial free. We'll get that going. And in 17 minutes, another $1,000. We are out of time. There goes Pink Floyd. 93 minutes commercial free. Dog and Joe show all done, all ready for vacation on a
Friday. Yeah, it is.
Yes. Oh, man. Time to take the steel-toed boots off and the hairnet. We are officially on vacation, returning August 12th on a Lickison Wind Wednesday. Dana, she's going to be here all next week hanging out. So if you get bored, you get lonely, you need someone to talk to, call Dana. She'll work you through the hard moments of your life, or just chat, you know, just maybe get caught up and talk about things that you really haven't had a chance to share with anyone else. Dana's here for you.
Of course, yeah. You're not going to be sleeping in. No,
you
no
always
way.
Do that to her, man.
No, Dana's going to hold the fort down. We will be back August 12th. We've not had a vacation in 7 months, so it's going to be nice, even though, like I told you before, I'll be vacationing off the coast of my couch. Not a lot of fun stuff to do when you're in a pandemic and not a lot of places to go, but going to try to get out and do a little bit, but I think we're going to probably pretty much stay close to home. Joe is going to go out, and as he told Dana and I, he plans on being sodomized by bear.
No, by Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Hey, we might do a little squatching while we're out there. That's exactly right. I don't know how far, you know, but I told my boy, I said, He wants to go real camping. He said, "Will you take me real camping?" I said, "Okay, I'll take you real camping, dude." You know, I said, "But there's no porta potties and there's no, you know, concrete roads. And, yeah, there's none of that stuff out there."
Did you hire a stunt father, a father that actually knows how to pitch a tent?
You are so mean.
It's terrible, man. It's terrible. I think I can remember. It's been a while. I don't want to really recall the months, but I think I can recall how to pitch one.
Yeah, well, okay. Say hi to Daryl when you're out there hunting for Sasquatch. Enjoy your Sasquatch grizzly bear orgy. And we'll be back on the 12th of August, and you can check in. We're going to still post stuff up. We'll stay in contact with you on social pages, on Facebook and all that. And, Sape, we'll come back. We'll do it all over again, and have a fantastic weekend.
I agree. You guys have a great weekend. Have a great week with Dana. Please be kind to her and enjoy the time off from us. And we will talk to you in a little over a week. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us today. It was a lot of fun. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Play nice.